Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro. Rabbi Leib Shapiro, a noted Talmudic scholar, is the dean of the Yeshiva Gedolah Rabbinical College of Greater Miami, the rabbi of Congregation Beis Menachem, and the community leader in Miami Beach, Florida.
Okay, the topic tonight, I was once thinking what topic to choose. Then I thought, well, today is the Siyum HaRambam. Today we know that the Rebbe instituted to learn three prokim of Rambam, three chapters of Rambam daily, and it comes out that about once a year, a little bit less than a year, but around once a year, we finish the whole Rambam. Today happens to be the day that we finish the Rambam. And therefore I thought that the topic today should be the Rambam. Not that I'm going to make a Siyum on the Rambam, that will be a separate celebration when we'll have a Siyum Rambam, but just to discuss the Rambam. And even though usually the topics are concepts, subjects, and here we're discussing a human being, a specific person, but the truth is that the Rambam not only was a person, which he was, but the Rambam also stands for a certain lifestyle, a certain type of concept, and therefore it's fit to discuss the Rambam. Before we get to discuss a little bit more in detail the Rambam's lifestyle or what the Rambam stands for, it would be proper to go through a little bit the history of the Rambam, some of the historical facts in the Rambam's life. The Rambam was born in the city of Cordova, Spain, in the year of the English year of 1135. According to some opinions, it was 1133. According to some opinions, 1138. But the accepted opinion is 1135. On Erev Pesach, on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was the dayan in the city of Cordova. The Rambam's lineage, the Rambam Yichas, goes back all the way to Rabbeinu HaKodesh, to Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, to Rebbe, the one that wrote the Mishnayos. And we know that Rabbeinu HaKodesh, who has different titles, is known as Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, he was a descendant, direct descendant of David HaMelech. He came from the dynasty of David HaMelech. And the Rambam was a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. They lived in Cordova, Spain, but when the Muslims conquered the city and they forced the Jews or to convert to Islam or to leave town, or if not, they would get killed. So the Rambam's family, his father and the family, chose to move. And they left Cordova, they went to other cities in Spain. And that's how they wandered for a while. But they realized that that's no Indian because they're not going to have any peace there, so they left the country. And they came to Morocco. And they lived in Morocco for 5 years, in Fez, Morocco. That's why in Morocco they have a house. Up to today, they say is the house where the Rambam lived in. But there, he also had plenty of problems, and the Rambam and his family, his father and the family, left. They planned to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they came to actually Eretz Yisrael, but they saw that it's not a place for them to live. Circumstances weren't good. They stayed there for a very short while, and they left. They continued to Egypt. They came to Egypt, and in Egypt they found a place where they were able to have freedom of religion, and they were able to live the way they wanted to live. The Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, who was the head of the family, he was the one that supported them all. But a short while after they came to Egypt, he passed away. And the Rambam's brother, younger brother, whose name was David, took over to become the provider. He became a merchant. He became a jewelry merchant in Egypt. And there the Jews had the full rights to be merchants and make money like everybody else. And he provided them, the whole family, with their needs. But what happened was, after a while, on one of his trips to India, there was a storm. And the ship sank, and he drowned. And that made the Rambam feel very bad, and the Rambam didn't have any source of panose. For a while he became very sick. Anyway, the end was that the Rambam decided that he is going to become a provider of panose. The Rambam did not want to use his knowledge and learning to be a source of his panose, of his money. So he chose a profession. While he was younger, he learned all kinds of sciences, and many of it, most of it probably, he took from the Torah, but he was well-versed in all sciences, including the medical profession. And the Rambam became a doctor. and he became a famous doctor till finally his fame reached the palace, and he was appointed the private doctor to the Sultan himself. And that's how he made his panosa. That's how he provided a livelihood for his family. Even though the Rambam was appointed at that time the chief rabbi of Cairo. And at that time, Cairo was one of the most leading Jewish communities in the world. And it was a very, very special position, but he didn't want to take any money. So the way he made his living was from being a doctor. Throughout all this time, the Rambam wrote many svarim, many books. Some of the famous ones are the Pirush HaMishnayis. He wrote the commentary on the Mishnayis. He wrote Sefer HaMitzvos, a sefer that goes through the list of all the 630 mitzvahs. He wrote the Meira Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed. These were written in Arabic. They were translated into Hebrew in the Rambam's lifetime by this person called Ibn Tibun. But he originally wrote it in Arabic. But then there was another sefer that the Rambam wrote, and that's what he's famous for, and that's known as the Rambam. The Rambam called that sefer Mishneh Torah. Later on it was also called, and up to this day it's called also, the Yad HaChazakah. And this sefer is the sefer of Halachas. This is the sefer where he codified all the laws of the Torah. And with this sefer, the Rambam accomplished a great deal, something very, very special. And I'd like to explain what the Rambam did with the sefer Mishneh Torah, Yad HaChazakah. We know that the Torah is made up of two parts, Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaalpeh, the written Torah and the oral Torah. The written Torah is the Chumash, and the oral Torah was recorded in the Mishnayis and the Gemara. The Mishnayis and the Talmud, that contains the whole of the oral Torah. So all the halachas, all the laws of what we are supposed to do are all in the Gemara, in the Mishnayis and the Gemara. We cannot paskin the halacha from the Chumash. There is no way we would know what to do by just learning the Chumash. We open a Chumash and the Chumash says do not do any work on Shabbos. We have no idea what that means. What does work mean? You could explain what work means. Picking up a heavy weight, that's called heavy work. We don't know what work means. It says in Chumash, you shall tie him for a sign on your hand. We don't know what that means. How do you do that? The only way we know how to do the mitzvahs, how do we know the halachas, that is from Torah Shebaal Peh, that is from the oral Torah. And this oral Torah was recorded in the Mishnayis and the Gemara. But the way it's recorded in the Mishnayis and the Gemara, there are a lot of discussions in the Gemara. Questions and answers, and questions on top of answers and on top of questions. Arguments between different Chachamim, between the Tanoim and the Amoraim, that it's very hard to really know exactly what the real bottom line is, what the halacha is. You have to be a terrific, terrific, outstanding scholar in order to learn the Gemara and be able to come out with a halacha to know what to do. Even scholars will not figure out from the Gemara what to do. And that is a great problem. There's another thing in the Gemara. You have to, if it comes to any question of any halacha, you have to be a Boki Bishas. You have to know the whole Gemara in order to know the halacha. Because there are certain halachas that deal with Shabbos which are not mentioned in the Gemara Shabbos. If a person wants to know the halacha of Shabbos by learning Mesichta Shabbos, learning the tractates of Shabbos, he cannot say that he now knows all the halachas of Shabbos. Because there are some halachas of Shabbos that are in the Gemara Erev. And sometimes the halacha of Shabbos can be found in the Sikh of Tzachim, in different Gemaras. Certainly the Gemara of Shabbos deals mainly about Shabbos, but it's not made in an organized fashion. The Gemara was not made in an organized fashion, the way we assume, organized according to subjects. Plus, you have to know everything. You have to know the Gemara, Bavli, you have to know the Yerushalmi, you have to know all the other things that are there, the Teiras Kedem, the Tesefta, you have to know everything in order to know all the halachas. So it's impossible for people to know. And that was lacking, so therefore it was very hard to reach the halacha and to know what exactly the halacha is. The first one who started a little bit to try to take out from the Gemara the proper halacha and write it in a form that we should be able to see the halacha before the Rambam was the Rif. Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, who lived in the city of Fez in Morocco, who was the teacher of the Rambam. The Rambam's Rebbe was the Rimi Gash, and the Rimi Gash's Rebbe was the Rif. And what the Rif did, we have it printed in the back of the Gemara, what the Rif did, he took every Gemara and he rewrote the Gemara, which means he rewrote the same wording of the Gemara, but he left out the discussions and the arguments, and he just left the bottom line the way he understood the halacha should be. So he was the first one who attempted to do it. But nevertheless, first of all, the Rif left the lashonis, the wording of the Gemara, and when you have the wording of the Gemara, not always can you understand exactly what it means and exactly what it leads you to and exactly what halacha is. Plus, we still have this problem of not knowing all the halachas, because the Rif went in the order of the Gemara. Whatever the Gemara says on this page, the Rif rewrote it, just skipped all the shakla v'tari, the discussions and the arguments. But he went in orders, in the same organized order as the Gemara. And therefore, in order for a person to know the halachas of Shabbos, for instance, you have to know the Shabbos, the Rif on Shabbos, and the Rif in Erevin, and the Rif in Pesachim, different places. And any other halacha, you had to know from different places. So there was still a problem. Came the Rambam, and what he did, he organized all the halachas in an organized fashion. So number one, what he did was, he wrote a sefer with all the halachas, not using the words of the Gemara, using words that are able to be understood by everybody, wrote it in the form of halachas, just plain halachas. Mentioned no arguments, none to no opinions, just what the halacha is. He wrote it in an organized form that all the laws of Shabbos are in the section called Hilchas Shabbos. All the laws of Chometz are in the section called Hilchas Chometz U'Matzah. And what the Rambam did, he took all the halachas that are in the Gemara in Bavli, the regular Gemara, the halachas of Shabbos, let's say, from Yerushalmi, the halachas of Shabbos from the Braisa, from different places, and he put it all together and he made it into a form. And he put it into 14 different groups. And each group has different halachas. Each halacha has different sections. He made it in a very, very organized fashion. And now when someone wants to find a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos, he will open the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos. And he will not see any arguments and any opinions. He will see what is the halacha, exactly what the halacha is. The wording is very clear for every person who wants to understand, who just knows Hebrew, could understand it. This is what the Rambam did. The lotion of the Rambam, the wording of the Rambam, is so clear that the commentaries refer to the lotion of the Rambam as Lashon Hazoh, the golden tongue, the golden expression of the Rambam. While other Daily Yisrael, other even the Rishonim, did not have that kayach of writing it in such clarity as the Rambam. So what the Rambam did with this sefer, besides all the other svarim that he wrote something that a person who wants to know all the halachas, and we look into the introduction of the Rambam, he writes like this, that a person is able to go straight from Chumash, go into the Rambam, and he will know all the halachas of the Torah. Till his time, a person would have to learn Chumash. After Chumash, he would have to go through the whole Shas, the whole of Shas, in order to know the halachas. So for a Rav, to be a Rav, to pass the Shas, you have to go through the whole Shas. But the Rambam made it so that now you just learn his Sefer. That's what he writes. You go straight from the Chumash to my Sefer, and you will know all the halachas. When the Rambam came out of his Sefer, it was accepted by Eden as probably the next best Sefer written after the Gemara. That's what the Rambam did to Klal Yisrael. He wrote it a Sefer that was accepted as the Sefer which comes next best right after the Gemara. The Gemara, which is the Mishnah and the Gemara, was the Sefer of Torah Shebaal Peh, this Sefer of the oral Torah that was studied by Klal Yisrael of all the Eden. Came the Rambam and he wrote a Sefer that was now accepted as second to it. But just like all good things, there was an opposition from different people against the Rambam. And besides the opposition against the Rambam concerning his other svarim, for instance, concerning the Meir Nevuchim, some people did not agree to the philosophy that the Rambam wrote in that sefer, because that's a sefer of philosophy. But even concerning this sefer, they argued, and they mainly three reasons they had why they felt the Rambam shouldn't have done what he did. Number one, they said that this is going to stop people from learning Gemara. As the Rambam himself wrote in the introduction, that you could study Chumash and go straight from Chumash to the Sefer and you know everything. And they were afraid that this would stop people from learning Gemara. A second thing they said, that the Rambam did not write any sources. The Rambam just writes halacha after halacha after halacha. No sources from where he took it from. The third thing is that Rambam doesn't give any reasons to his halachas. The Rambam just writes halachas and doesn't explain why. Concerning the problem of not writing sources, the Rambam himself writes in a letter that he regrets not writing the sources. But he says, trust me that everything I wrote has a source. When the Rambam wrote his sefer, he had all of Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi, all the Sforim available that are there in front of him, not only in front of him, but in his head. And everything has a source. Truth is that in later generations, people did give out Sforim, trying to bring the sources of what the Rambam says. As a matter of fact, the Rebbe asked about 15 years ago, the Kelo, the Lubavitcher Kelo, to give out a sefer, and they gave out a sefer, which is called Mare Mekemes Sefer HaRambam. Sources to every halacha that the Rambam wrote. Concerning the problem of him not writing reasons, well, the Rambam held that you're allowed to learn without knowing the reasons, but there are so many commentaries on the Rambam, and they all give the reasons to all the halachas of the Rambam. There are probably as many commentaries on the Rambam as there are on the Gemara. And concerning the problem of the, because of the Rambam, people will stop learning Gemara, as the fact was, it just turned around. It was the opposite. After the Rambam wrote his sefer, this brought more interest in people learning Gemara. Because people saw in the Rambam the depth, even though it's clear halachas, but people who saw what's hidden in the Rambam, this brought them to want to look further and see, where does this come from? Where are the sources? And they looked into the Gemara. But the Rambam became a sefer, mamish like the Gemara, which means people, the Forshim commentaries, are medayik. Medayik means they look exactly to the words of the Rambam. Every word of the Rambam counts. If a Rambam wrote an extra letter, you could have pages upon pages in the commentaries to explain why he wrote an extra vav here when he could have not written a vav. There are many, many halachas learned out from the Rambam, not for what he wrote, for what he didn't write. There are many halachas learned out by the commentaries from the order of the way the Rambam wrote halachas. If he wrote this halacha before this halacha, this means that the Rambam holds a certain halacha and a certain thing they learn out. There is an interesting thing written in the sefer called Kreisi Uplesi, written by the Yonis Neitschitz. And he discusses this idea that in the Rambam we see the commentaries and not some plain small commentaries. Commentaries like the Kesef Mishnah, which is the Bis Yosef himself, the Bis Yosef who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Bis Yosef, and other similar ones are medayik, and they learn out halachas from an extra letter or an expression of the Rambam, the order of the Rambam. And he asks, is it possible that a human being should have all that in mind? Is it possible for a human being, when he wrote these halachas, he should have in mind all these different things that they learn out, that he meant this way and not this way, he learned it in this order? It's impossible. So the crazy place, he says, I believe that the Rambam did not have all this in mind. But the Rambam wrote it with such great Kedusha that min HaShamayim, Hashem made him write it in such a way that this all is in it. What do we need more when we're looking about that, talking about the Rambam? What do we need more? When we look at a sefer and we want to know how great it is, usually you look at the Haskamah. Mostly the Svarim are given out, have a Haskamah. Haskamah means approbation from different great rabbis who are greater than the one that wrote the sefer. And based on what they write in the Haskama, or who are the ones that give the Haskama, you could understand how good the Sefer is. Well, the Rambam doesn't have a Haskama in his Sefer. He didn't ask anybody to give him Haskama. But the Shem HaGdolim, the Chidon, and the Shem HaGdolim writes an interesting thing. He says, it took the Rambam 10 years to write the Sefer. And the way he says there is, the Rambam locked himself up in a room for 10 years and concentrating on writing the Sefer. And this itself is a miracle, to write such a Sefer in 10 years. Hasid Bivdayeg, in 500 years he couldn't do it. But he wrote it in 10 years. Some say it took him 14 years, but it's accepted that it took him 10 years to write the Sefer. The day he finished writing the Sefer, and he finished the last halacha, he turns around and he sees that his father is standing next to him. His father already wasn't alive. His father came from Yenervel, from Olam HaEmes, and stood next to him. And there was another man next to his father. And he asked his father, who is this man? And his father says, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came here to see your Sefer. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu came to see your Sefer. So he gave him the manuscript, the finished manuscript, and Moshe Rabbeinu looked through it. And after he finished, Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, Yashir Koyach, thank you for the Sefer. So even though he doesn't have a Haskama on his Sefer, but he has a Haskama from none other than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And the truth is, the Rambam did something similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah Shebiksav, wrote the whole Torah Shebiksav, the whole written Torah. Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, wrote the whole Torah Shebalpeh, the whole oral Torah. And he wrote the whole oral Torah. Unlike other authors who wrote similar Sforim which are codes of Jewish law, like the Shulchan Aruch. What do we need more? The Shulchan Aruch, that's what we passing like. But the Shulchan Aruch only wrote those halachas that apply Bizman Hazeh nowadays. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have the halachas of the Beit HaMikdash, doesn't have the halachas of the sacrifices, doesn't have all those halachas that don't apply nowadays. The Rambam wrote all the halachas, all the halachas of Karbonis, the halachas of the Beit HaMikdash, the halachas of Mashiach, all the halachas that are there in Torah. And he included in his Sefer the halachas from the Mishnayis and from the Gemara, from Babli, Yerushalmi, from the Tesefta, the Sifra, the Sifri, all the Sforim that are there, including the Tshuvas HaGaonim. After the Gemara, there was a Tkufa, a period of the great scholars who were called the Gaonim. And they also wrote Tshuvas, responses on different questions. He included everything that they said into his Sefer, in short form, obviously. So the Rambam wrote the whole Torah Shebalpeh. So this includes the whole oral Torah. This is one of the reasons why the great Tzaddikim said on the Rambam this famous expression, which is written on his matseva, on the stone over his grave. It says, Mimeshe ad Meshe leikom kemeshe. From Meshe to Meshe, there was nobody like Meshe. From Meshe Rabbeinu to Meshe ben Maimon, which is the Rambam, there was nobody like Moshe. And this is, one of the reasons is because he accomplished something similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Besides the Rambam's influence on world Jewry, the Rambam's influence was the greatest. On world Jewry, the Rambam's influence was the greatest. His influence was so great that in certain areas, they inserted his name in the Kaddish. They would say, B'chayeichen uv'yameichen uv'chayei Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. They would say it in the Kaddish. That's the influence, that's the respect that he had from the people around him. Because of different things, besides his being the greatest scholar in his time, and he was looked upon as the greatest Pesach in his time, but he helped Jews in different communities in many different ways. One of the ways was through his letters that he wrote. He wrote many letters, and the famous ones are Igeres Taimon, Igeres Hashmad. He wrote different letters to different communities, helping them in the whole system of the way they were. And, for instance, in Taimon, in Yemen, they respected him greatly because of the letter that he wrote, and that changed their whole outlook on different things and their behavior towards the religion, the other, the religion that they wanted them to convert, whatever. But the Rambam, he had his influence. I wouldn't say like Moshe Rabbeinu in this way, but it's something that you could use the word Mimesha ad Mesha Likom Kamesha. And the people knew that. The Kedusha of the Rambam, the holiness of the Rambam, his Madrege is beyond our understanding what level of Kedusha he was. There were great people who sat on the Rambam that had his generation been worthy of Mashiach, he would have been Mashiach. And he was a descendant of David HaMelech, as I said before. So he is from Malchus and David, so he definitely could have been Mashiach. And he would have been Mashiach had that generation been ready for Mashiach, but it wasn't. His Gedusha was so great, it says in different Svarim, see this, I don't remember exactly which of the Rabbein said this, that the Rambam, with his Seichel Enushi, which means with his human intellect, reached the understanding of Olam Habriyah. You follow? This is something unbelievable. We learn in Chassidus and Kabbalah that there are different spiritual worlds. There is the world called Atzilus, which is the highest world, most godly world. Then you have Olam Habriyah, the next world. Then you have Olam HaYetzirah, all spiritual worlds. Then you have Olam HaAsiyah. And then finally you have the Olam HaAsiyah HaGashmi, this physical world. Now we cannot understand anything that's out of the framework of this physical world because we have limited physical intellect that we can't understand anything that's beyond. The only knowledge we have in anything that's beyond this physical world is because of the Torah. The Torah tells us, we learn in Kabbalah, we learn in Chassidus, different things, and we accept it. It says that this goes on in Olam HaAsiyah Ruchni. This is what's happening in Olam HaYetzirah. This is what's happening in Olam HaBriyah. Olam HaBriyah is a level of the highest malachim find themselves in this world called Olam HaBriyah. So it's only through Torah we could have. They say on the Rambam that with his Seichel Enushi, with his human intellect, he was able to understand the spirituality of this level of Olam HaBriyah. Imagine how great that is. Say this famous story about the Rambam. We know that one of the things that Rambam writes, which is very controversial, the Rambam writes there is no such thing as shading, as demons. And a lot of Chachamim showed that in the Gemara we learn so much about Shadim. How could the Rambam say there's no such thing? And he claimed there isn't. And he writes that in the Sefer. He passes like that. He says it's all imaginary things. And there are halachas concerning the Shadim, but it's all imaginary things. It's not really true. The halachas are concerning the imagination, but not that they are really Shadim. And the Chachamim in his own town argued with him. So they once said to him, there is a ghost house at the end of the city, which everyone knew was full of shading. We'll take you there, we'll show you. That it's there, you'll see with your own eyes. There's nothing to discuss. Not to the question whether it's true or not. You'll see it. So he said, fine, I'll go. When the Rambam came there, there were no shading. They became these bottles. They disappeared because of the Kedusha of the Rambam. His holiness was so great that when he came, they weren't there. That's how great the Rambam was. That's how we say, Mimeshe ad Meshe, Loikom Kameshe. One of the things that the Rambam writes in his Sefer, besides all the halachas of Hilchas Shabbos, and Hilchas Pesach, and Hilchas Yom Kippur, and all the halachas that we have in Karbonis, there's one section that the Rambam has which is called Hilchas Deis, laws of human behavior. And he talks about a person's diet, what a person should eat and how a person should behave in such manners. And some of the people complained, why would the Rambam insert that into a sefer of halachas? And the answer is that the Rambam stressed this idea that the goal of Torah, Yiddishkeit, is that our human natural behavior should be absorbed with godliness, with the likus. In other words, it's not enough for a person to do mitzvahs. When you do a mitzvah, you're doing something godly to begin with. You're putting on film, even though you're using a physical pair of film, but you're doing something godly. If not for godliness, you'd never do it. You gotta be crazy to wake up in the morning and take a leather box and strap it around your hand. There's no sense of a reason for it. It's to begin with a godly thing. So that's one thing.
But then there's another thing. We have to take our natural physical things that we do, not for any other reason, but because our physical needs. That should become holy. And that's what the Rambam did. He put into his sefer the halachas of how to eat. Because when you eat physical food, which is not because it's godly, you eat it because your body needs it, that itself has to be done in a holy way. As the Pasuk says, "B'chol drachecha da'ehu, in all your ways you shall know him." And kol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim. All your actions should be l'shem shamayim, should be for the sake of Hashem, and this does not mean mitzvahs. When it says, in all your ways you should know him, it doesn't mean mitzvahs, because mitzvahs are not your ways. Mitzvahs are Hashem's ways. They're not drochecho, your ways, they're darkei Hashem. When it says, kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim, all your actions should be l'shem shemayim, it doesn't mean mitzvahs, because mitzvahs are not ma'asecho, they're not your ma'asim, not your deeds, they're ma'asei Hashem. Kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim, or your ma'asim should be for the sake of Hashem, means your own, when you eat, and when you sleep, and when you drink, and when you do business. And that's what the Rambam is trying to tell us here. That we have to bring Elikus into the world. And that's how the Rambam himself lived. This was an important point, part of the Rambam, and he lived that way. And this is the way the Rambam himself lived. The Rambam, as I said before, was a doctor. And he occupied a lot of his time with being a doctor. And that's the way he served Hashem. There's a letter from the Rambam that he writes to the one that translated the Sefer HaMitzvot, to Ibn Tibum. And this Ibn Tibum wrote to him that he would like to meet the Rambam. Because he translated the Rambam's works from Arabic. And the Rambam actually saw it. And the Rambam said it was good. There was somebody else who translated some of the things of the Rambam, and the Rambam was not so happy with it. El-Kharizi. And Rambam's son has a letter saying it's not so exact, not so right. But Ibn Tibum's translation, the Rambam was happy with. So this Ibn Tibum writes to the Rambam, "I'd like to meet you, discuss things with you." So the Rambam writes a letter to this Ibn Tibum, says, "Don't come. I won't see you." "Why not?" So he says, "I'll write to you my daily schedule. And then tell me if I have time for you." And he writes his daily schedule. Because I wake up in the morning, I go to shul and daven, I have right away a shir after davening. Then I have to run. I eat something, a chatz, like he writes, I just eat something, and I have to run to the palace. Because I have to be there on duty all day. I run to the palace, and there I am the doctor for the sultan and the family and the people, and I'm busy. Finally, in the afternoon, or towards the evening, I come home. And guess what? I come home, my house is filled with patients, with people who come to see me. And I want to help them. I hardly, he says, have time to run and eat something. I treat my patients one after another, which takes a long time, then I run and I eat something. Then I have to learn something, and it's already midnight at night, and that's it. The only time I have, he says, really, really to learn is Shabbos. And I don't want to give that time away. So please don't come. Because I'm not going to talk to you. I don't have time for you. So the Rambam describes that his whole life was involved in being involved in Gashmias. And this Gashmias was by him the tool of the way he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, the way he brought a Kiddush Hashem, and the way he served Hashem. And he served not only the king, he served all the Yidden, because through his position, he helped them Gashmias and Ruchnias. He was considered not only the Rav of the city and the Rav of the community and the whole Golil, the whole area, he was given the title the Nogi. The Nogi at that time was the person who had the president of the community was and had connections in the government, and that's what he had. And the Rambam gave away his life and his time all for this. This is why, by Chassidim, the Rambam was very, very special. There was a special, I mean, all the daily Yisrael, by all the Eden, by Chassidim and Mishnagdim, by everybody are holy. And who's more than the Rambam? By the whole world, the Rambam. But in the other parts of the world, in the literature part of the world, the Rambam's greatness is his sefer, is the lumpus, the scholarship that's there in the sefer. And that's by everybody, by Chassidim too. But besides that, the Chassidish Rabbeim had this special feeling to the Rambam because of what the Rambam stood for. The Rambam stood for this idea of bringing godliness into the physical world. Chassidus This is a fundamental philosophy in the philosophy of Chassidus. Chassidus discusses that the whole purpose of the creation was to bring godliness into this physical world. And that's why in Chassidus it says that there is something from one angle more, something more special in eating L'Shem Shamayim and doing business L'Shem Shamayim even than doing mitzvahs. Like I said before, when you do mitzvahs, you bring godliness into the physical world. Obviously, you take money and give it tzedakah. You do something holy with a physical object. You put on film, you take a physical object, and you bring holiness into it. But nevertheless, it is to begin with a holy thing. You're doing a mitzvah. But when you're eating, and there is no mitzvah to eat, the mitzvah to be healthy, but there's no specific mitzvah that I have to eat this piece of bread. Pesach, to eat matzah, is a mitzvah. But to eat breakfast every morning, the piece of bread I put in my mouth is no mitzvah. So Chassidus says that when you eat that with Shem Shamayim, then you're really bringing godliness into this world, more even, from one angle, more even than when you put on the film. And this is what the Rambam stood for. And that's probably the reason the Rebbe introduced the learning of Rambam, the Rebbe did. Because the Rambam is something holy besides the scholarship, but what the Rambam stood for. And this is one of the reasons it says that learning the Rambam hastens the coming of Mashiach. And this is one of the reasons why the Rambam himself would have the Mashiach, according to those daily Yisrael that said that. Because what is the idea of Mashiach? The idea of Mashiach is, as people, not exactly as people think Mashiach will come and we'll have a good time, everything will be fine, which is true. But that's not really what it is. When Mashiach will come, the Pasuk says, "V'niglo kved Hashem," the glory of Hashem will be revealed, "V'ro kol basar yadav kipi Hashem diber," all flesh will see that Hashem spoke. The flesh, the physical flesh, is going to be permeated with the words of Hashem. The Gashmias will become holy. And this is the purpose of creation. You know that Mashiach is the climax of the creation. The purpose of creation is Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in this low world, in this Gashmizika world. Hashem has all these higher spiritual worlds with malachim, angels, and all kinds of things up there. That's not what he wanted. That's all a stepping stone to come down to this world. And this is what he wanted, to make a dwelling place in this world. The Gashmias of the world should become holy. And that will happen when Mashiach will come. So the Rambam lived that way, and the Rambam in his Sefer brings out this point. From all this it comes out, you see the great importance of the Sefer and the Rambam, and what the Rambam stands for. And therefore it is very important to learn the Rambam. Besides the fact that when you learn Rambam, you learn the whole Torah, because the Rambam contains the whole Torah. The Mekubalim write that if you learn Rambam, it's a zgula not to have to come down again in Gilgul. We know that for certain things a person has to come down again to this world, his neshama has to come again into what we call, I hate to use this word because it sounds goyish, but reincarnation. But the real way, it's by way we know it. So it says that the zgula to learn Rambam is a zgula not to have to come down again to this world, because the Chal Neshama is not happy with it. Neshama would rather not do it. So, but many times it happens. But if you learn Rambam, it's a zgula not, it shouldn't happen. And as I said before, learning Rambam is a zgula for Zirus HaGaula, for bringing Mashiach. We know that the Rambam's name is hinted in the Torah. The Svarim write that. And it's in connection to Geula, to redemption. In Parshas Bei, when it talks about the redemption from Mitzrayim, Hashem said, I'm doing this, gave the plague to the Egyptians, saying, Leman revoice Meisai Be'eret Mitzrayim, which means in order to multiply my miracles in the land of Mitzrayim. So the four words, Revois, Meifsai, Be'eret, Mitzrayim, the first letters of these four words makes Rambam. Revois is the Reish, Meifsai is the Mem, Be'eret is the Beis, Mitzrayim is the other Mem, it's Rambam. And they bring this, that this is a hint of the Rambam. And this is a pasuk that deals with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with the redemption. So the Rambam has to do with redemption, not only from Mitzrayim, but the redemption of this Golus, which is a continuation of the redemption from Mitzrayim. So learning Rambam is connected to the redemption. Besides the fact that in the Rambam we have hidden the deepest concepts of Kabbalah. And many people don't know that. I would say most people don't know that. As a matter of fact, many people would argue it. There are people who claim that it's not so. There is a whole discussion in different places whether the Rambam actually learned Kabbalah or not. There are some that say that the Rambam did not learn Kabbalah. And they usually talk about the Rambam versus the Ramban. That the Ramban writes a lot of Kabbalah and the Rambam doesn't. So they write that the Ramban learned Kabbalah, wasn't Mekubal, while the Rambam wasn't. But we have a tradition from the Baal Shem Tov that the Rambam did learn Kabbalah. And there are a lot of sources to certain things that the Rambam writes in the Zohar. Some want to say that the Rambam never saw the Zohar. But if you look, you see a lot of things, there are sources of the Rambam is from the Zohar. Just to use one example. The first halacha of the Rambam, the first words of the Rambam, are taken basically word for word from the Zohar in Parsha Va'era. Just that the Rambam is written in Hebrew, the Zohar is written in Aramaic, so there it's in Aramaic and here it's in Hebrew. But if you follow the words, Yisoida, Yisoida is Amud HaChochma, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom, is to know that there is this first being and everything that from heaven and earth and in between all came from this first being. This expression is written in the Zohar Parsha Va'era. And there are other things. But the Mekubalim says, not all Mekubalim, but from the Baal Shem Tov we know, that the halachas in the Rambam contain the secrets of the Torah, but covered up. The Rambam covered it up for whatever reason he had at that time, not to reveal it. Even the Meira Nebuchim, the guide to the reflex, which has philosophy, and certainly some say, well, that's philosophy that's not really according to the 100% of what Torah says. What the Rambam writes in that sefer is based on Kabbalah. There are a lot of things in Meira Nebuchim that we find in Kabbalah that explain what the Rambam means. We don't refer to the Rambam in Meira Nebuchim, but we look, we see that this is what the Rambam meant. So basically, the Rambam is, when you learn Rambam, you're learning Kabbalah in a hidden form. And we know that this is also something that has to do with Mashiach, because it says in the Zohar that Reb Shimon ben Yochai said that with this Sefer of the Zohar, we're going to go out of the Golos. So those Svarim which are connected to Kabbalah are Svarim that will lead us out of the Golos. And the Rambam is one of them. So based on all this, it is very important and very special to be part of learning the Rambam, understanding what the Rambam is and what it stands for. The only thing is, some might ask that to learn Rambam, being that there are only halachas, there are no discussions, no questions, no answers, it is very dry. While you learn Gemara, it's gishmak. You understand, it's a question and an answer, and there's a lot of depth. Here you learn dry halachas, which is true. From that, looking at it from that perspective, it is true. But from another perspective, the fact that this is a sefer only of halachas, it is much deeper than if it's a sefer which deals with discussions, and I'll explain why. When we learn something and we understand it and we ask questions and answers, we have what we call havonah v'hasogi, we have an understanding. We're not dealing with the essence. Understanding is not the essence of the person. That's only one aspect of the person. The will, the ability, the willpower of a person, that is the essence of the person. And we apply that to Hashem too. The wisdom of Hashem, which is the Torah, is the wisdom. That's one aspect. The halachas, that's the will of Hashem. The halachas are Hashem wants you to do this, wants you to do that. So it's the will. The will is the essence. And not to go into that subject now, because that's a different subject altogether, but in Chassidus we learn, and it's taken from Sukkim, that the will of a person is the essence of the person. That's why the word nefesh, which means the life, the soul, also means the will. When it says in Yeshas Nafshechem, when Avraham Avinu said to the Bnei Chais, when he wanted to buy the Moras HaMachpelah and he wanted them to speak to Ephraim, he said to them, in Yeshas Nafshechem, which means if you would want, please speak to Ephraim. Now he didn't say if you have the Ratzon, which means will. He used the word if you have your Nefesh, because will is the Nefesh. So when we're dealing with Shakla Vatari discussion of different things in Torah, we have the wisdom of Hashem. But when we deal with strict halacha, which is the will of Hashem, that's not the wisdom, that's the essence of Hashem. That's why the halachas of Torah are called the Keser Torah. The crown of Torah refers to the halachas of Torah, not to the discussions which are part of Torah. We know that when we have discussions and arguments in the Gemara, it's all Torah. And the Gemara says, Eilu vo'eilu divrei elekim chayim. These and these are the words of the live God. When you have an argument between Bishamayim and Bishilo, constantly they argue. One is according to Halacha, one not, but they're both the words of God. But which name of Hashem does the Gemara use? Eilu vo'eilu divrei elekim chayim. It uses the name Elekim. Now we know that among the names of Hashem, the two most important ones are Elikim, but the one on top of that is Havayah, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. It says in the Gemara that the word Havayah refers to Halacha. It speaks about David HaMelech, and it describes what David HaMelech looked like. Then the last description is V'Havayah Imei, that Havayah was with him. And the Gemara says that means that Halacha K'meisa B'chol Mokim, that the Halacha was like him. And where do we see the halacha was like David? Because it says the word Havayah was with him. So what do we see here? That when it deals with discussions and arguments, which is part of the Torah, part of the words of Hashem, it's part of the words of Elikim. It uses the name Elikim. But when we talk about the halacha, we use the name Havayah, and the name Havayah is known as to be the Shem Ha'etzem, the essential name of Hashem. So halacha is more essential than the discussions that we have. And now that we're Chas V'Shalom trying to show that one part of Torah is more important than the other, or minimizing the importance of learning Gemara, but what I'm trying to do is just bring out the importance of learning Halacha. So on one hand, learning Halacha is very dry, and it doesn't have that whole pleasure that you have when you have discussions and questions, but on the other hand, the crown of Torah is the Halacha, which is in the Rambam. The essence of Hashem is more in the Halacha of it than what we have in the discussion in the Gemara. And the same is concerning us, that which part of us is more involved, the essence of us, is it in the Gemara or is it in the Halacha? It's in the Halacha. Because the Gemara, when we use our seichel to understand, it is only our intellect that's involved in the Torah. But when we learn Halacha, there is not much intellect there. It's just dry facts. But that is something that we know we're supposed to do. That is more what we call Kabbalah Seil, accepting facts from Hashem without involvement of our own pleasure or our own self. So that is our true self-nullification toward Hashem when we have the Halacha more than when we have the Nigemara. And this is all in the Rambam, which we have more than we have never spoken. But the bottom line, after all this is said and done, we just try to bring out the greatness not only of the person of Rambam, but of the Sefer of Rambam, which is called Mishneh Torah. Why is it called Mishneh Torah? Interesting thing. Mishneh Torah means second to the Torah. Second to the Torah. Because as the Rambam wrote, yes, you can learn Chumash and second to the Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh is the Rambam. There is the other name, Yad HaChazokah. Why is it called Yad HaChazokah? The word Yad HaChazokah means the strong hand. But the reason it's called Yad HaChazokah because there are 14 sections to the Rambam, and Yad is Yud Dalet, which is 14. So this is the strong 14. So it's the Yad HaChazokah. But that's not the name given by the Rambam. Actually, it's not even clear at what time in history this name started. But the name that the Rambam gave it was Mishneh Torah. So the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam is such a sefer which contains Kabbalah, has the Ratzon of Hashem, it has the whole Torah. And by learning this, we have the all the mitzvahs that we could imagine in having and learning Torah. And especially looking at the person Rambam, who he was, and what he accomplished, and what kind of neshama he had, certainly when we learn Rambam, we connect ourselves to the Rambam, this is certainly something very great. And therefore, the bottom line is that every person should start participating in learning Rambam. Yes, questions, okay.
Did Rambam write anything about his doctorship?
Yes. Rambam wrote books on medicine too. Yes. And he wrote, yeah, there are books on medicine written by the Rambam. And the Rambam even wrote an oath for doctors to take when they get their license or whatever you call it. But now today, this is the... Yes. Yes. And a wife and children, but there's one son that's the famous one. His name was Avraham. And he's known as Rabbeinu Avraham Ben Harambam. And there are different svarim that he wrote. And a lot of the things that, questions that people ask concerning what the Rambam writes, many of them were answered by the Rambam's son, by Rabbeinu Avraham. Well, there are people who their last name is Maimon. I think they are descendants of the Rambam. Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, well, we can't talk about everything. Okay, I'll just mention it. But one of the things that Rambam did was he was the one that categorized the 13 principles of faith, the Yud Gimel Ikrim. He wrote them in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and from there it was taken to the 13 Animamis. But it was the Rambam that did it. He crystallized these 13 things. It's all taken from the Rambam.